We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
We're here.
I wish I could give this feeling. I wish I could give this feeling.
What up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of the Corner Podcast. Kel Dansby here with the old man Andreas Hale, back for another week of talking combat sports. Dre, we talked boxing our last show last week. A lot has changed since that show. So yep. Today's about to be a packed boxing show. I'm still trying to wrap my head around what happened. We'll hash it out on here. But we also had a bunch of announcements come out this week. So who better to talk to than ESPN's combat sports journalist, Andreas Hale. Like, we've got an insider big time on the show now. It's great, man. We'll talk about all of that stuff today. If you guys are listening to this, also the Patreon should be up, where we're just talking like 2 weeks of hip hop and disses that were, that aren't, that went too far. Like, a bunch of random shit to talk about on that Patreon show. You guys have been waiting patiently. Check that out now if you guys are on the Patreon. Shout out to everyone in Discord. You've just been asking me about it. Got you. It's coming up. So make sure everyone checks that out. If you're not on Patreon, the hell are you waiting for? It is right there. We're having a blast over there in the Corner Club. Dre, the not-so-elephant in the room. Of course, everyone's tuning into this show to hear our thoughts. Ryan Garcia, Devin Haney, you said from, I'd say as early as 4 weeks ago, like, yo, Ryan's antics, like, oh, I talked to him earlier, it's crazy. Now 4 weeks ago, you'd be like, oh, I think Devin stops him now. And then I was like, no, 50-50, decision. Then I got to the point last week where I was like, yeah. And then he missed weight. I was like, maybe he gets stopped. Like, the missing weight, all this stuff. Ryan played us and everyone else like a fool. Maybe. I want to begin, and we'll get into the fight and everything, but I want to begin with a not so hot take. I'm trying to force you into a hot take. Was Devin just not as good as we thought? Is Ryan better than anyone knew? Or was this a matter of circumstance aligning to make this fight end up how it is?
All right. First things first. Ryan didn't fool us because Ryan is still crazy.
Yeah.
Like, let's just keep it a buck. Like, Ryan is nuts, right? It's not like he beat Devin and then went back to being normal. He's still acting a fool. He's still talking about he drank every day. Yeah. All those things can be true. I think where a lot of us are retroactively trying to say Devin's not good, that's nonsense. It is more of Ryan. Okay, I'll start with this. Crazy people make good music. Sick people can dance. Like, I'm being serious right now.
No, you're
like,
dead serious. That makes so much sense.
Like, there are people who are nuts that can be really talented at what they do. Ryan happens to be one of them. We discounted a lot of that for him breaking down in the ring, and that's not what happened. He didn't have a breakdown in the ring. His fighting instincts kicked in. The other side of this is him being crazy also led to him kind of calculated, maybe blowing the weight on purpose.
Yeah.
Right? Like, it's something that nobody's really talking about. Not enough people are talking about. Ryan weighed in at 143, didn't even try to weigh in again. Devin killed himself to make 140. What wasn't taken into account was there was no rehydration clause.
Yeah.
So Ryan blew up to whatever weight he wanted to. Devin can only go so far because he killed himself making 140, which naturally gives you a size and strength advantage to the person who blows through their waist. The reason why I want Ryan could win a title. What Ryan knows, or what his team knows and just doesn't care about, is who gives a fuck about the belt. The winner is the only thing that matters here. Ryan reportedly bet $2 million on himself. He's a plus 600 underdog. He ends up winning $12 million. So that $1.5 million he ends up paying to Devin is nothing.
Yep.
It's $500,000 less than he bet on himself, right? So is Devin Haney overrated? No. He falls off the pound-for-pound list, obviously. The mistake that Devin made was, I don't even know if I want to call it a mistake, taking the fight after Ryan blew the weight because, like, he didn't know if Ryan was taking the fight seriously. And it's obvious we all thought the same thing. Like, this dude shouldn't even be fighting. Like, what the fuck? Some of our kids getting raped in the forest, right? Like, there's no trolling there, right? Like, he was said some really crazy things. But what Devin ended up doing was he took a fight that he didn't necessarily need to take because Ryan wasn't ranked, wasn't as mandatory, but he knew that there was a lot of money at the end of that fight.
Yeah.
But when Ryan blew the weight, him and his team were so overconfident in the fact that Devin is a more technically sound fighter, which he is, that he could beat Ryan on any given night, especially considering the mental issues. The things that they didn't take into consideration, which nobody did, is that Ryan can still fight.
Yeah.
And the thing was, is that, I don't know, I don't want to say maybe it's Derek James that figured this out. Devin's not a big puncher. He hasn't been a big puncher. He'll jab you to death. He'll out-technique you.
Yeah.
If I'm naturally bigger than Devin, and Devin couldn't put away a Regis Prograis, he couldn't put away a Lomachenko, he couldn't put away a Linares, he couldn't knock these people out. He hadn't scored a knockout in a long time. What's he going to do against a guy who's probably 160 pounds on fight night? The other thing that Devin didn't account for was how fast that left hand is. He had one job. One.
That's it. That's the first thing I said to you early in the first round. Yo, yeah, one job. Stay away from the left.
He had one job, and I can forgive the first time he got hit by it because it's fast.
It came out of nowhere.
Yeah, Ryan's left hook is fast. And I don't think, and if you go back to a Gervonta Davis interview with Sporty, I think, over at Complex, Gervonta's like, he hits harder than anybody I've ever fought. Right? Like, Gervonta made it very clear. He's like, this dude can crack. And as he's gotten bigger, obviously the punches get harder. Devin just, he got, the first one hit him and he was like, knocked loopy.
Yeah.
But if you watch the fight, an interesting thing happens. Devin starts gaining confidence because Ryan kind of punches himself out.
Yeah, definitely.
And then Ryan gets lost. For like 4 or 5 rounds, Ryan can't figure Devin out. Devin's on the stick, using the jab, using movement, staying away. Then Devin gets confident. Goes into round 6 and 7, like, all right, I'll put the right hand behind this jab.
Yep.
And I can hurt him. Because I think he hurt him with like an overhand left in like the 5th or 6th.
Yeah, Ryan like backwards. Stuck his tongue out, like did a little joint. And it was like, all right, I got him.
Yeah, so he figured, okay, cool. I'll put a right hand behind this jab. And, you know, we'll see what happens. He overcommitted. Ryan shot that counter left and blew his ass up. He better be thank. They better send Harvey Dock a check. Actually, no. Let me be clear here. It might have been better if Devin got knocked out.
It would have been better if he got the count, because it wasn't as vicious if he got the count in the 7th. The continual ass whooping after that is what makes it look bad. Because now he got dog walked after them.
Yeah, like it might have been better if he would have got stopped in the 7th round, right? Yeah. Like, because two of this sh- one at least another one of those knockdowns should have counted, because he was all over the place. His legs were spaghetti. Ryan was cracking him. He was holding like hell. And Harvey Dock was not warning Devin about holding in the seventh. Ryan was holding a lot early in the fight. Yeah. Devin held a lot in the seventh, and Harvey Dock should have done something about that. Instead, he takes a point away from Ryan without warning for punching on the break.
Yeah.
Crazy to me.
But don't let him hold. Like, it was one of those things, like, frustration.
So I don't think Devin is overrated. I think, like, if Devin stays at 140, fights Sandor Martin, who is now his mandatory,
he's
still the champion, which is fucking dumb. It should be vacant, but whatever. He could still beat almost everybody at 140 pounds. If he made Ryan weigh 140 pounds, he probably would have beat him.
It would have been closer.
Because Ryan was huge that night. Like, there's a lot of people that are showing the pictures of him being hydrated versus what he fought and how he looked against Tank.
It's like two different
humans. Yeah, two different human beings. But what Ryan also knows is the cards are all in his hands. Yep. He ain't fighting Devin again. Even though he said he'll rematch him, he ain't fighting him again.
Not immediately.
No, he's not fighting him unless it's at 47.
Yeah.
And or even a catch weight of 45. And if I'm Devin's team, I ain't doing that. I'm not. Devin has to fight his way into the weight class.
Yeah.
Ryan has naturally become the bigger fighter. He's just naturally bigger than everybody else. He's growing faster than everybody else. He's going to 147 pounds. It's inevitable. Yeah. Devin, while he's big, he's one of those guys like that has to cut a lot of weight so he can have some advantages, because
it's a lot like Errol.
Yeah, in a way. Yeah, like the size matters when you're that big. But like Errol's a pretty big bludgeoning puncher and Devin's not. So it's like he's naturally not building strength and power. He's just bigger.
Yeah.
So he has to cut weight. So if he fights at 140 pounds, he could beat a lot of those 140 pounders. But if you go after Ryan again and try to fight him at 145, 147 pounds, you're gonna lose again. You're gonna get hurt again. Ryan can punch. Like, that's the dude. I will say that I think we underestimated Ryan. But I said after the last fight, I thought it wasn't like a lot of people was like, that was a bad win. I was like, nah, like it was good because he got the stoppage. If there's one thing Ryan can do is he can hurt you.
Yeah.
The shoulder roll is still a defensive deficiency. But if you can't figure out what to do with it when he ducks down like that, Devin was lost. Where do I hit him? Right? He hit him in the side. And Harvey Dock warned him, don't hit him in the back. I said, motherfucker, he's turned his back on me.
Yeah, where am I supposed to hit him?
Devin was lost. He was like, I don't know where to hit this guy. Like, what do I do? It's not a sound defensive strategy, but it kept Devin completely off balance. So everything about Ryan Garcia means he's going to be a defensive liability. Like, he's never going to be good defensively. But if you can't hurt him, you're in trouble. He can knock you out at any given moment. He is that good. I don't know how good he'll be at 147 pounds. I don't. But I'm interested.
Boots Ennis aside, because he's at 147. I don't know for how long.
Won't be.
So I think 54, him and Virgil, that'll be their thing. And then Ryan will belt collect and probably wait for everyone else to come, in which they'll be there. So it's not that far ahead. But I've been saying this for as long as we've had this podcast, as long as these kids showed up, and it was four of them. And then now Shakur is in the mix. But this era of the five princes, they're not losing to anyone except each other.
Correct.
And on any given day, any one of them can beat any one of them. So if Devin fought Ryan again at 147, Ryan should win. Devin could not get rocked in the first, use the stick. Ryan could not catch him. And Devin could outpoint him on some real boring, quote unquote, fight and win. If they fought five times out of five, they probably split. Hence, they fought six times in the amateurs and split. And that's with everyone. So to say Tank, if he fought Ryan again, would just be a dog walk again. If they fought at 45 or 47 without that rehydration shit, it could be a completely different fight.
It will be.
Yeah, it could be a where did you catch them? When did you catch them? Tank is really smart of that because of Mayweather, because of the camp, because of the people around him to know I'm not going to put myself in a bad position to do so. I'm going to make you money, so you got to acquiesce to me. And that's what he did to Ryan, and it wasn't the Ryan we saw the other day. And I'm not sure you're ever going to have that completely equal standing between all of them. Some people give for this fight, some people give for that fight, whatever. But it's still one of those, if you tell me Teofimo is moving up to 147 tomorrow to fight Ryan, Teofimo might stop Ryan. Ryan might stop Teofimo. Like, it's one of those things. Tio might beat Tank at 140 because that's still pretty big. You know, Tio and Devin might be a closer matchup than with Ryan. And you should be like, well, Tio should knock him out. Ryan, put him down. Like, no. These guys are so evenly matched at doing different styles. This shit's as close as you're going to get to, like, a kung fu flick, where it's just like Drunken Master, Tiger style. Like, but they're all really fucking good. But if you put them in there with someone else, they're going to get their ass. Like, somebody else is going to take the ass whooping until they all fight each other. And I think this was the perfect highlight of that, of, yeah, Ryan could beat Devin. We wanted, and you've been safe, right? Got to see Devin take a punch.
Yep.
You got to see what this was and what they're made up of. And these guys are just really, really good. The key thing I've seen in the aftermath of this is Tank is really, really smart. And they're all athletic. They're all quick. They're all really skilled. Tank did something that Bill Haney was telling Devin to do since he got rocked in the first, which is duck under the left hand.
Yeah.
Don't overextend. He's going to throw it. Don't try to block because it's going to come around your guard. Don't try to counter immediately. Duck under and you'll leave it open. People started posting that Tank, the two Tank knockdowns, on Twitter again after this happened. Tank stood in the pocket and just said, Ryan's going to throw over my head. And he duck under. Ryan throws over his head and he snuck the left under and just boom, hit Ryan. The other time, snuck the left under, hit him in the ribs. He kept going underneath the punches. And the couple times he couldn't, Ryan rocked his ass too. And it was just like, okay, but I'm 50-50. I'm ducking under this punch if I can time it. And your ass is wide ass open. So we're going to see if you can take a punch. Devin was never unable to duck under. And it's a really sound and smart strategy by Tank and his team. So it's one of those where those little things separate all these guys. Can you figure out how to stop this style? Can you figure out his one Achilles heel? Can you execute it? Can you be patient? Because when Devin started using the jab and was on the stick, he looked good for four rounds. I was like, oh, he shook the cobwebs off.
Yep.
And then that left came again, and there was no recovering twice. You could recover once, couldn't recover twice, barely knew where he was. Shout out to him for being tough and lasting the whole fight. And he'll come back, he'll fight Sandra Martin. I think he'll look good. And then him and Teal will fight, or him and Tank will fight. Like, all those guys are going to fight. In the meantime, they're going to beat every other person put in their way. And they are just really that good. Right now, like, they are the five best 100, again, boots aside, between 147 and 130. They're the cream of the crop. No one's beating them.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring podcasts on the Blue Wire Network. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System yet, then you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Wherever you are across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's Unified, UNIFYD, healing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE system.
If you want to use the four kings, it's like Ryan is the Tommy Hearns of that crew.
Yeah.
Right. The big puncher, long rangy, suspect chin a little bit, can't get put down. But if he catches you, he's fucking you up. Right. Like that's what Tommy Hearns was.
Yeah.
Like Tommy Hearns like beat up a lot of people because he's tall, wiry, had reach and power. Defensively, he was never that great. Right. That's why Marvin Hagler smoked him in three rounds in an absolute war.
Yep.
Tommy didn't have any defense, but he gave everybody problems. The thing was, is like, well, who's Devin Haney in this equation? Before, some people were like, well, maybe Sugar Ray, maybe not, right? That might be Shakur Stevenson.
Yeah.
We're not quite sure yet. Shakur is like a weight class or two behind them, right?
Yeah.
It's going to be some time before he fills out. Ryan, once he heads to 147, which I believe will be his next stop, if he can't land a Tank fight, which Tank's not fighting him at 45. It's just not happening.
No.
Like, Tank is small. He's small. Like, he's big, but he's, like, small and compact. He doesn't want to give up any advantages. So if you look at 147 pounds right now, the fight for Ryan Garcia that could probably make him the most money, if Boots Ennis is announced to fight Cody Crawley, the only other person at 47 who is an attraction, he'd have to go overseas and fight Conor Benn.
Yeah, I think they were going back and forth and talking. I think a sanctioning body, probably WBC, willing to put up a belt on that because Crawford's vacating everything. Like, the only thing Ryan hasn't done is become world champion, right?
Crazy.
And it's like, I'm sure they'll want to get him a belt. Like, yo, just go and take a belt. But I think Conor Benn is probably the next big fight. Whether that's in London or New York and they meet halfway or whatever it is, I think that's a great fight for him. There's always the chance where somebody, I don't know who, somebody is going to put Keith Thurman out to pasture.
Well, Keith's at 54 now.
And that's a good name on the resume.
Ryan won't be fighting Keith Thurman. Keith is not coming back down to 47.
You can do some shit out of catchweight for Keith.
Keith is too big. He hasn't fought. He's inactive, which means he's bigger. He's going to fight at 154 when he comes back.
Yeah. So him, I mean, Booch just left. So I don't even know who he fights now. Him and Spence is the most logical fight. Just get out of the way. Neither of you guys doing anything. We'll talk about Bud in a second. He's about to go belt collecting. So you're in a weird spot where it's just like, all right. Like, Ryan, the belts will be there. Go around, belt collect. I know he said he wanted to fight Fundura, which is 54.
He ain't fighting no guy.
I think Ryan might beat him.
I mean, it's not that fight's not happening.
No.
He's not fighting Fundura at 54. It ain't happening.
But it's one of those things where there's options there for him. But yeah, now it's just he's going to be a draw against anyone now because of the antics, because of the skill. You just have to ask, like, can you keep yourself on that high level when the other guy isn't Devin Haney? When you want to do all these antics and craziness, but you know, like, I'm not the underdog. Like, people aren't doubting me. Like, you have to come in and deliver as the A sign and not slip up. So that's going to be his next test. Unless he's crazy. I mean, he is crazy. Might go straight into the Conor Benn fight. And Conor Benn could be on everything. And Ryan doesn't even give a fuck. Conor Benn can't even fight in the UK. So, I mean, if you want to get, like, the Saudi bag or you force him to come out and you have a Vegas fight, that could be a possibility because he just fought here. So that's That's a good test for Ryan at 47, if that's where it goes next. But man, it's what's next for Devin Haney? Like, obviously, Sandra Martin, but I hate that boxing now and boxing fans, quote unquote, casual fans, like, he lost. He sucks. It's over.
Yeah.
It's like, no, he has an entire career ahead of him. Still an undisputed champ. Still didn't lose his belt. It still sets him up in the future if he goes and takes a couple of tough fights to be right in the mix and try to go undisputed again.
Yeah.
He does not want Subrio Matias right now.
No. No, stay away from that guy.
Stay away from that guy.
Not right now. I'll start with Devin first. It'll be Sandor Martin to defend that title. And then he'll figure it out. Not really concerned with Devin. I am concerned with the boxing community just saying he's washed up. Devin Haney is the best resume of anybody 25 years old. Like, he's fought everybody and he's gone after everybody.
Yeah. You can't be washed up at 25, by the way.
No.
You can't.
No. Like, yeah, he took an ass whooping, but a lot of people have taken ass whoopings and come out just fine. If people had kept the more UFC and MMA mentality with boxing, you stop acting so stupid. Justin Gaethje just got knocked out by Max Holloway. We're not writing Justin Gaethje off completely.
No.
Right? He's been knocked out plenty of times.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And he's still one of the baddest fighters in the world. So I'm not going to do that to Devin Haney. I think it's foolish when people say he's overrated or he's washed up. If he's overrated, then how did he become undisputed?
Yeah.
Right? If he's overrated, why was he undefeated for so long? It's not like he didn't fight nobody. Like, he fought Lomachenko. Yes, you can say that Lomachenko won, but ain't nobody out here just running down everybody. Like, he's going after everybody. It's not like Regis Prograis was a bum. He only lost to Josh Taylor when Josh Taylor was at his peak. And Josh Taylor couldn't beat Regis the way Devin did. Devin beat the brakes off of Regis Prograis. It was his best performance to date. So I'm not... It's nonsense when people write him off. Did Devin have a bad night? Yes. But he fought a bigger man, had a bad strategy, and just he underestimated him. He did. He underestimated that left hook. He really didn't think it was coming that fast. It's hard to gauge that kind of speed. And it's funny because Ryan Garcia is a pitcher with a 110 mile an hour fastball, and he just repeatedly uses it. He doesn't really have a jab. The right hand is there occasionally. It's like a pitcher who barely has a breaking ball with that 110 mile an hour fastball. He just dares you to hit it. If you can hit it, great. Good for you. But for the most part, people can't catch up to that shit. Now, the thing about Ryan, again, it's been so fascinating to me because this is one of the biggest upsets in recent boxing history. Because everything led us to believe that Ryan really didn't have a chance. Yeah. Whether he was completely sober or not. And I think it caught a lot of people by surprise, even when he missed weight, when he's, you know, drinking and talking about he drank and smoked every day, drinking wine at the club the Monday before the fight. But here's the thing.
Man, drink a beer on the scale.
Yeah, here's the thing. Ryan's 25 years old. This shit will catch up to him. Just not today. Right? Like, if social media, and one of my favorite interviews, I don't even know if this made the interview. It was Zab Judah. I've talked about him all the time. Zab Judah fought drunk. Drunk. He fought drunk. He was a world champion while he was drunk. He was one of the best fighters in the world, intoxicated. Smoked, drank, partied. Hard. Like, but it caught up to him. He fought Katsuzu and was never the same again. But leading up to that, everybody thought Zab Judah was indestructible. Zab didn't have social media.
Yeah.
Zab didn't post him hanging out with Jay-Z at the club, smoking blunts on the stoop. Like, he told me, he said there was more Grey Goose in his system than there was in the bottle that he left behind before a fight. He wouldn't tell me what fight it was. But he knew as he got older, like, his body was breaking down faster than everybody else's because he didn't treat it right. Ryan Garcia's in the same boat. He's not the first person to do this, guys. He's just the first person to use it heading into the fight.
Yep.
Everybody else would hide that shit. Not Ryan. Not Ryan, because Ryan's off his rocker. Teofimo Lopez is not too far behind. Like, you got to be a little off to do this sport. Ryan's completely off, but the way people have said Ryan was trolling, and it's the greatest troll job in boxing because Ryan did lead us all to believe that he wasn't going to have a chance. But to suggest that Ryan's not crazy, or not a little bit off, to me, Ryan is still a 30 for 30. This isn't going to end well.
No, it's this not, is just the height of it, though.
Yeah, this is the peak of – this is where the narrator goes, and then it all fell down. Because Ryan's antics are fine when you're 25, 26 years old. You can get away with it. It's just like not making the weight, right? Like, it's just like weight cutting. Oh, I can shave 30 pounds in a week. Yeah, you can when you're 24, 25 years old. But can you do when you're 33, 34? No, it's a lot more difficult. Everything's harder as you get older. But when you're young, you don't think about that. You just know I can make weight. And then it all catches up to you. So it's not like – I just really hate where people is just like, Ryan bamboozled us. He's not okay, guys. He's not okay. He talked about seeing kids get raped in the forest with Andrew Tate. He told Jane Merica, the Golden Boy Promotions PR, to go get him a string orchestra for his locker room. And Jane had to do it in 24 hours notice.
It was 24 hours notice?
24 hours.
That's incredible.
Jane did a great job.
I'm glad she pulled that off. Yeah, she's great.
Yeah, I love Jane. Jane's great. But and like mental health in general, like Kanye's not trolling us. Kanye's nuts.
Yeah.
Right? Kanye needs help. But to a lot of people, not me, Kanye still makes great music. He still makes great beats.
Yep.
But he's nuts. You gotta separate the art and the artist sometimes. Ryan's nuts.
Gotcha.
When the bell rings, he knows what instinctually he knows what to do every time. Because he still is immensely talented in those areas. That's it. He also learned from Tank. I'm just going to hypothesize. Probably 2.5 weeks before the fight, Ryan was like, I ain't making this weight. Like, I think he wanted to. And then he realized, like, not doing this.
You don't even have to hypothesize. As soon as Devin was making the bet on that video, Ryan leans to his dad. And his dad's like, don't make the bet. No. Like, and then you look over and everyone at that table is just like, fam, you're not making weight. Like, don't make this bet. And then he's like, per pound. And his dad's like, no. And Ryan says, his dad told him no. Or Devin calls him out. Like, oh, his dad said no. Ryan's like, no, I'm going to take the bet. It's like, dad, don't worry about it. And his dad's like, this motherfucker ain't making weight. Like, he's crazy. Derek James looking at him like, but yo, they ain't making it.
They all knew it, right? And that's why everybody said that don't take the bet. But Ryan, he knew what he was doing in a way right there. He was like, well, it's going to cost me a little bit to get this money. So let me lull him into this false sense of security. Now, I'm sure he didn't think of it that succinctly. He was just like, yeah, you ain't going to make a fool of me on this stage. I'm just going to take the bet. I got the money. It's nothing. But I guarantee you, like, fighting Tank 2 weeks before he had to fight Tank, he knew how hard that weight cut was. But he was determined. He was like, I'm going to make this weight, and I'm not going to rehydrate. Then he fought, and he was like, this sucks. Like, I was at a disadvantage that whole fight. He learned that lesson. Got
never again.
You, 2.5 weeks went by. He was like 154 pounds. He looked at Derek, was like, I ain't making this shit. I don't know what you're looking at. Yep. I don't know what would you. I'm not putting on that sauna suit.
I told someone that today. He looked at it. He was like, never again. Like, yeah. I'll give up money. I'll give up shit. You cancel the fight. I'm never going in there weight drained and not myself again. You ain't playing me. You ain't going to stop me and knock me out. I don't care. I'm going to get as low as I can. I'm going to stop. I'm not going to try it anymore. I'm going to pay whatever you want. And that is that.
Yeah. And this is where it becomes Devin's fault. Ryan knew Devin wasn't pulling out of that fight. Yeah. Ryan knew it. No chance in hell Devin was going to pull out of that fight because social media is king. You know what kind of clown people would have called Devin Haney for not accepting the fight? Oh, it's just 3 pounds. Because boxing people are not even boxing people. Casual fans are stupid. It's just 3 pounds. No, it's not. It's really like 15 pounds. Right? Because once that man rehydrates, it ain't 3 pounds anymore.
Yeah.
Like, people don't understand weight cutting. The more difficult it gets to get those few pounds off, the harder it is to rehydrate. But if you just give up and just say, you know what? Just about to drink all this liquid. It's 24 hours before the fight. But Ryan was probably rehydrating 48 hours before the fight. He was already on his way up.
But there was an interview with Eddie Hearn, I think, like, yesterday that came out, day before. I don't even know who did it. I just saw the clip circulating. But he was like, he told Devin to have him rehydrate, like, have a rehydration weigh-in on Saturday because it at least keeps him down and stops, you know, Ryan from blowing up more. He's like, I've seen guys miss weight before and the fight continues, but this is one of the few times ever I've seen someone say, I don't care about you rehydrating tomorrow morning. Like, you have to weigh this and can't weigh over this the next morning. Like, Devin didn't say that. And he was like, Devin and his father were worried about them making the athletic commission making Devin step on the scale.
Yep.
And people would see how big and bloated Devin gets after a fight. And Eddie was like, I was trying to tell them that's not how this works. It's like you negotiate to just get the other guy on the scale. But they were so worried that they just said no. And no. I was just like, yeah, that's ridiculous. But Devin, but that's the key. Devin rehydrates. I think the word was Devin got back up to 165, 163 the night of the fight, even though he killed himself to get to 140. He still put on 25. And I guess Ryan was like 163. So Ryan would have been smaller than Devin, but it's when you put it on.
Right.
Right. Like you said, Ryan could have said, fuck this, 2 days before.
Yep.
And Devin, that those 2 days is cutting. Oh my God, I got to do this, that. Coming off of Ramadan, where your schedule is already fucked up. Granted, I understand he's observing it after, but still, it's one of those things where it's just like, he's still training at night. He didn't train during it. Like, you know, he set his regular schedule for it, even though he was eating. And it's still like, yo, you got to cut those last 2 days, cut those last 2 days. And Ryan's just like, Ryan's like, I'm in the club.
Yeah, I don't care.
I don't care. He's in the club. To be honest, if he wasn't in the club and bullshitting, maybe he could have got there. But he probably been like, fuck this. I'm vacating the belt anyway. So what does the belt matter?
No, he checked out it because Ryan lives on social media. The only thing social media cares about is who looks like a fool on social media. Don't nobody care about them belts on social media. None of Ryan's followers go, man, he's the number one contender. They don't care, right? All they care about is, did he win? That's it. He was 3 pounds overweight. I don't care. Did he win? This viral video don't say that. This viral video of him knocking the Sonic rings out of Devin don't say that. He won. That's all that matters. The story doesn't end well for me. It just, whatever happens to Ryan, yes, he's riding his highest of highs, but he's going to have a come to Jesus moment at some point, and somebody's going to beat it out of him. His body's not going to respond the way he thinks it does, but from all the alcohol, his weight's not going to be right. It's going to be when he least expects it. He's going to fall into a trap fight and think he's got it, and he's going to get whipped, and he won't be the same again.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
It's only a kick, a jump, a block, it's only a serve, it's only a tackle, a run, it's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
I'm not saying he's Adrian Broner. Yeah. Adrian Broner was just never really that good. And the problem with Adrian Broner was
the people problem would say that's not true.
Of course he would. But the reason why I say Adrian Broner wasn't really that good is because Adrian Broner mentally checked himself out of getting better before he got close to peaking.
That's true.
He fought in places he shouldn't have fought at rather than staying in a weight class. Like, he convinced himself, I can fight at 147 pounds. No, you can't. You couldn't.
You got Maidanas.
Yeah. Like, you beat Paulie Malignaggi. What are you doing? If he would have stayed at 35 or even 40, Adrian Broner would have been a very good fighter. But he wasn't disciplined. And that's why I said he was never that good. Because skill-wise, just like Ryan Garcia, very talented, naturally gifted athlete, very good. But then mentally, it's a mess. Fights and modes, offense, defense, I'm scared to get hit. Like, I don't like this. I'm not going to mix it up that. Ryan Garcia, the thing about Ryan is he truly doesn't care. Yeah. Like, he's not worried. Ryan Garcia is that one guy who was like, I really don't care how hard you can hit. I can hit you harder and faster. So let's figure it out. Like, he fights like a slap fight.
And he knew it because it was one of those things where it was just like, yo, you're not going to stand in the middle ring with me. Devin was like, yeah, I am. I was like, oh, God. Ryan was like, okay. Like, this is my only chance, bro. You're like, you didn't give me my only advantage.
That's the thing, right? Like, he says that at the press conference. And Devin's like, yeah, I'm going to stand in the middle of the ring with you. And me, I was like, yeah, he's going to stand in the middle of the ring with you. Until he blew through the weight. And then you're like, uh-oh, he's setting me up. Right? Like, before that, if we're on an even playing field, like if Javante said that to Ryan and saw Ryan all sucked down, of course he's going to stand in the middle of the ring with him.
Yeah.
But Ryan was like, let's do it. And Devin's here thinking, hey, he's going to make the weight. Somebody tipped Devin off that night after the press conference. Somebody was like, he's not making weight, guys. Like, yeah. Actually, before the weigh-in, he knew.
That's why he made the bet. Yep.
Like, he knew. He knew. But ego's a motherfucker. Like, him and his pops both sat there and was like, don't matter, we got this. Don't matter, we can beat anybody. Don't matter. He found out the hard way.
It makes me wonder, when do you then adjust the game plan?
There is no adjusting. There's no adjusting. Like
after the first, when he gets dropped, he survives.
There's no adjusting. There's a very small percentage of fighters who adjust in the middle of a fight. And what I mean is not between rounds. I mean between seconds. Floyd Mayweather, Andre Ward, Terrence Crawford. Off the top of my head, those are three people who will, in the middle of a round, figure it out. They won't wait till their corner gives them an instruction to do something. Floyd has never really listened to Roger Floyd Sr., who was ever in.
It didn't really matter.
It didn't.
He was just cutting people checks out of the kindness of his heart.
What Floyd was doing is like, I need a cut man. I need somebody with another set of eyes just in case. But Floyd operated in a way that was always, all right, it's not really a game plan. I don't really watch tape. I watch fights, but I don't really watch tape because, all right, I know what you can do.
Yeah.
But if I watch tape, then I set myself up for what I think you're going to do rather than reacting to what you're going to do.
Yeah.
Floyd was really good at that. Like, Floyd was really like, all right, Shane's good. But I don't need to watch a whole lot of tape because then I'll think he's falling into patterns. He's not training for me like he trained for Margarito. He's fighting a different fight.
Yep.
Floyd got hit in the middle of that round. He changed everything. Andre Ward was the same way with Kovalev.
Yes.
Ward got caught. And then in the middle of the round, it wasn't an instruction at all. It was Ward figuring out where his body needed to be, and what he needed to do to change the fight. Terrence Crawford, it's different with Terrence because Terrence doesn't really fight to take away your weapons. Terrence fights to hurt you.
Yeah.
And what he does in the middle of rounds is he adjusts to what you think you're doing well, and he doesn't take it away from you. He just beats you at it.
Yeah.
Right? Like, Errol, oh, he's got a good jab. Well, you know, maybe step inside this jab and see what happens. All right, now I'm beating the shit out of you. That's how Terrence Crawford operates.
I've seen him get caught. Like, Mean Machine caught him.
Yeah, and he figured, he was like, uh-oh, not going to do that again. No.
And then it was just, but again, like you said, it was, okay, offensively, I can't do this.
Right. But
offensively, I could do this. And then he stopped him in eight. And it was just like, okay, it's a different offensive attack. More so than, let me figure out defensively what the fuck happened.
Like, Devin doesn't have that in him yet. And I don't know if he ever will. Devin doesn't have and a lot of fighters don't. Shakur might have it, but I haven't seen him tested enough to figure it out. Devin doesn't have he caught me. In between these seconds, let me figure out how to make this adjustment. Instead, he goes to his corner like most fighters do, and they go, all right, do this, stick the jab, do that. All right, dad. All right, trainer. In the middle of the round, now I make that adjustment.
Yep.
The problem is, for most fighters, your trainer is not getting hit with that punch. Your trainer's not calculating speed. Your trainer's just telling you what to do.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, duck under that punch. But if I can't do it, like you could tell me 116 mile an hour fastball is coming. If I can't hit it, I can't hit it. Yeah. There's nothing you can do about it. Devin, he was in no man's land of that fight. Like I said, the first one was a surprise shot. And he was like, shit, I didn't expect that. But now I know it's coming. But even when he knew it was coming, there was nothing he could do about it. There was no adjustment because he's not that defensively sound. He's good. He's really good. He's not that defensively sound. Canelo, I also can't necessarily figure out. Like, I don't think he's good instinctually as a Floyd or Andre Ward, but he does have a little bit of that in him where his upper body movement is really good, right? Yeah. What he did to Daniel Jacobs in that fight, like, he wouldn't get hit by anything.
But
he
The feet is always the downfall.
Yeah, like, he doesn't move his feet a lot. He's got tremendous upper body movement. Floyd does things like takes away your space, closes out your range, steps forward. Like, he does everything to upset you. That's what Floyd does. Ward did the same thing. He'll do things to disrupt everything that you're doing, whether he's holding you, whether he's popping the jab on the release, whether he's using lateral movement, whether he's circling off another way. But he does it, like, right in the middle of a round. Devin doesn't have that. There was nothing he could do. The game plan was use the jab, don't get hit with the left, put the right behind it when you find a space. And that was the plan. And in rounds 2 through 5, it worked. And then Devin was like, let me throw this high-speed fastball again and see what happens. Crack. Devin wasn't ready for that. Nothing he could do.
He gave up the counterpunch. And yeah. I get it, because at that time, it's like the mindset is, I get him out of here. Ain't got him out of here. I can get him out of here. And it was kind of, I wonder if Devin will admit this one day, be like, the pressure was to stop him, not to beat him.
Oh, of course it was. 100%.
And that fucked up the game plan.
Like, he wanted to stop him. Like, I mean,
that and getting punched in the mouth round one throws everything up.
Yeah. Like, the game plan from the jump was finish him. When you find an opening, finish. Because he has shown you that he can quit. And he has shown you he will go down. So step on the gas and finish him. They just didn't calculate that Ryan was going to be that big and strong. They just terrible set of miscalculations. Terrible.
And being crazy, someone mentioned it. Being crazy might have helped him.
It did.
Because you don't care about those calculated risks as much.
There's no overthinking anything with Ryan.
Just went.
He's fighting off pure, like, dude, I'm telling you.
He's on autopilot.
Derek James, like, yes, there was like, hey, Ryan, Devin's going to do this. Devin's going to do that. And Ryan's like, yeah. When the bell rings, Ryan's like, I'm doing this. Yep. This is what I know how to do. Derek was like, well, ain't nothing I can do about that. Right? In the corner, it's like, all right, he's jabbing you to death. And Ryan's like, yeah, I know. But I'm going to hit him with his left hook. Derek's like, all right, fine. Like, I can't tell you, use your right hand. Yeah. I'm going to throw this left again. He's not. And then Derek's like, all right, cool. Like, there's really no coaching at that point.
Yeah.
Like, Derek James, when he cornering Errol Spence, when Terrence Crawford's beating the brakes off of him, there's nothing Derek James can do. Nothing. Because nobody anticipated that. In worst case scenarios, nobody in that corner was like, well, if Terrence is beating your brains in the round two, here's what you got to do. Nobody thought about that. So when it happens, it's a big shock to everybody. What do you do?
There was no answer. Get better. That's it. Like, this, get better. And for Ryan, it was, yo, you caught him once. There's no guarantee you catch him again. Use the stick. Throw the right hand behind it. And Ryan was like, nah. He started throwing the right hand, to his credit. But it was all power punches. He didn't give a fuck about a jab.
Yeah, not at all.
He just was swinging that left hand. And said, you know what? It'll land. And landed, did. And that seventh round punch was one of the best punches of Ryan's career. And he's had a lot of them. One of the best punches of his career. Right on temple, never recovered. The first one in the first round kind of cracked him on the jaw. At least he can get up and wobble. Seventh, he only survived because the ref gave him 18 million seconds.
Yeah, the ref gave him too much, man. It was Ryan was just, and it was one of the things where he wasn't really worried about what was coming back. With Gervonta, he was worried about he wasn't worried about what was coming back until it hit him with Tank.
Yeah. It forced him to worry about it.
Yeah, then he was like, uh-oh, this guy can hit. Like, and I'm really at a disadvantage. wasn't that way with Devin. About round five, he was like, oh, you can't really hurt me. So let me get my power bar up in these rounds. He's going to jab me, but I'm going to hit him again.
Yep.
He's going to fall again. I know he'll fall if I hit him. That was it. Let's talk about these other fights before we get out of here.
Yeah, definitely. So on the other fights being announced, one name you mentioned already, Terrence Crawford, the Saudi prince, is putting on fights in the U.S. now, I guess.
Yeah.
So Terrence Crawford is going to fight in August. I don't know what state it was. I wasn't paying attention.
It's California.
LA. Oh, it's in L.A.? Okay. So,
yep.
That's not bad. I'm surprised it's not Vegas, but whatever. So we have him fighting out there. And again, he's going for the belt. He's the mandatory. He's going to fight for a title at 154. Really? And he's going to win. Not that it's an easy fight, but he's Terrence Crawford. It's not a hard fight. The card around it, though, stacked.
Yeah. Well, yeah. For those not paying attention, Terrence Crawford is fighting Israel Madjumov, the WBA champion. Jermell Charlo was campaigning to get a fight with him, and the WBA was like, I think we're going to go with Terrence Crawford. And yep. Now Terrence is going to get that fight. And yes, the hunt begins. Like, he is after being undisputed in a fourth weight class. Third weight class with the help of the Saudi prince. Because if it was PBC, if it was gold, nobody was going to pay Terrence the money that he wanted for a fight against somebody that we don't know who he is. The general public does not know who Israel Madjumov is. He only has like 10 pro fights, but he's a champ.
Yeah.
And Saudi prince is like, what, you want to be undisputed? I'll fund that. And here we go. But yes, the card around it, come on, man. We got Aaron D. Ruiz versus Jarrell Big Baby Miller. A former fatty versus a fatty.
Big Baby coming in 400 pounds.
No, he don't care.
But the fight that was announced today that looks like he's going to be fighting tonight, Virgil Ortiz, Tim Tszyu.
Yeah, man.
Or Virgil Ortiz, because this should have been for a title. Tim Tszyu, outside of, you know, a short notice fight against a guy who's 6'7", should still be champion. And a crazy cut. Even with the, you know, without the cut, I think he wins that fight. And now instead he has no belts, and this is a co-main event.
This is frightening, right? Like, first of all, Virgil Ortiz has to, which he will, beat up Thomas Delorme this weekend. He's just going to beat him up.
Yeah.
And then he's got to fight Tim Tszyu. Look, everybody done forgot about Virgil Ortiz. Everybody has forgotten about how good he is. If fighting Tim Tszyu, and people are like, oh yeah, Tim Tszyu. No. It's Virgil. This is the Virgil Ortiz show. Look,
Tim Tszyu is really good, though. Yeah.
Tim Tszyu could win this fight. But Virgil is different, man. Virgil has that kind of power. Everybody that he's fought, that he's hit, their eyes get they get really big. And it's not like Berlanga, who was fighting Cans. Like, Virgil was just punching out everybody. And it's he's fast. He hits hard. Tim Tszyu hits hard, but he don't got a perfect knockout percentage.
No.
Ortiz does. Like, Virgil knocks out everybody. If you want to make things really interesting at 54, like this, the fight that everybody talked about 3-4 years ago was Virgil Ortiz and Boots Ennis. It's going to happen. If Virgil can get the job done against, man, this sucks for Tszyu, because he can go 0-2 real quick.
Quick, fast. Like, they're doing, and he's crazy because he'll take it, but that Saudi bag is different.
Yeah, I mean, you're going to take the money. The
like, yo, how much does it take? Write a number. Yeah.
And okay, fine, right? Like,
yeah, I'm gonna go home. You go home thinking, like, fuck, I should have wrote a bigger number.
Yeah, like, damn, that he said yes too quick.
Yeah,
like, I should ask for more money.
I should ask for more money.
But man, I love this fight, but I hate it because boxing fans are unforgiving. And if Tim Tszyu goes 0-2, the people are gonna write him off, and they shouldn't do that. I still think he beats a majority of this division. He beats Fundora in a rematch, he beats Charlo, he beats anybody. But I don't think he's going to beat Virgil Ortiz. Virgil's really good. Virgil's still like a baby. Like, he's...
And he missed a lot of time with those illnesses.
So I'm saying he had to fight all those illnesses, and then...
Man, it's fresh.
He's fresh. He's strong. Hell of a fight. It's a super loaded card. It's the same night as, like, UFC in Saudi Arabia, so I don't even know if I'm going to get to go. But, damn, that's a loaded card. Isak
China
on that card.
Let's see who else is on here. So the champions right now, oh, Bakram Murtazaliyev. All right.
Yeah.
I think I've seen this fight. I haven't paid too much attention. But Fandora has two of the belts. And then Bakram Israel had the other two. So Crawford will have one. I guess then he'd have to fight the Bakram dude. He'll have two. And then whatever happens with Fandora and those two belts is what Crawford will go at to start next year.
Well, here's what I think will happen. I think, yeah, Crawford's going to be match mall. And if Virgil beats Tim Zhu, he'll end up being Fandora's mandatory. Virgil beats Fandora, then he has a belt. Then you have a huge fight with Virgil Ortiz and Terrence Crawford, which is what Virgil's been aiming at for a long time. I think that's how you get there. Like, Virgil will be, because he's already the WBA mandatory. He's the number one contender. So if Terrence has that belt, he's the mandatory. But I think what they'll do is Virgil will go after Fandora because he'll get over Tim Zhu being the top contender for the WBC. He'll get that belt. Terrence will have the WBA. And then Ortiz will have the WBO and WBC. And then you have a unification fight next year with those two.
Maybe.
Or the end of the year.
I don't think there's enough time to force a mandatory and have him fight Fandora outright in that one. I think, and with Fandora, like, what, they're just going to let that shit be on DAZN if it's not a mandatory? Like, PBC will work with Bud and some Saudi money if need be, but they're not going to cut in DAZN or Golden Boy for no fucking reason, you know? That's what hurts Virgil.
Yeah, I mean, look.
Saudi bag is a lot.
I mean, Munguia is fighting Canelo.
Yeah.
It's PBC. So it can't happen.
But it's on PBC. Like, yeah, I guess if Virgil went over there and PBC was like, fuck it. But I think they would look at like, yo, I want to do a Bud deal. Right? Like, Bud, you could fight. If Bud's next two fight is Israel and then Bakram, and Bud has two belts, and Fedora for some reason either waits or someone beats him in a PBC stable, then that's who Bud will fight. But I think they keep it in-house until Bud can get to him. Because at that point, you'd be like, yo, Bud, you got to sign for me, and we'll give you Fandora, but we need a two-fight deal because you got to fight Charlo after.
Well, we forgot about one person, Errol Spence Jr.
Errol was hoping to grab one of these.
Well, Errol, it looks like...
Errol can fight Fandora.
This is what is probably... I forgot to consider this. Errol did get in the ring. PBC is going to angle for Errol to get that fight with Fandora.
That's how you force the hand. That's how you force the rematch.
Yeah. Like, that's
Charlo's fucked. If I'm Charlo, I'm like, I want Fandora. This is my division.
They all do, but man, 54 got really interesting really fast. Like, if Errol goes out there, let's just say he beats Fandora. Virgil fights Delorme. Virgil beats Tim Zhu. Virgil, then there's Charlo still lingering around there. Somebody's going to beat up on Charlo. Probably going to be Terrence Crawford. I don't know. I don't think Charlo's going to come back. I think they're done. But the 54 got real interesting. Like, a Virgil versus Errol fight is interesting.
Yeah.
There are a lot of interesting fights at 54. They made this division. And then eventually, hi, Boots. Here I come. By that time, Terrence Crawford's probably going to be done fighting. Like, if he becomes undisputed again,
Terrence Crawford will fight Canelo and ride into the sunset.
Yeah, that I think if Bud can do what Canelo did and unify and become undisputed in these belts in less than a year and then fight Canelo, he'll do that. But if he wins like one belt and then Canelo's like, all right, fine, let's fight, he's going to fight Canelo. And then he's going to be done. The Canelo fights the swan song. That's it.
Yeah.
Probably for both of them.
That's the end of it. End of the road.
Because if Terrence beats up on Canelo, Canelo's also going to retire. Well, he'll probably like fight like three fights that don't matter.
Yeah. No, I agree. It's, we'll see. It's interesting in boxing right now. And there's a lot of money to be had. This Saudi prince is just making it rain like he in Magic City.
In the States, the man says, yo, you don't want to come over here? Fine, I'll come over there.
Threw Deontay Wilder on a fucking co-main. He's just throwing money. And now PBC is stacking cards because they're like, fuck, I got to just maintain the level. So we see, you know, which is now here. I think we talked about it on the show. Maybe we didn't. Tank is now in Vegas. Yeah, Tank Frank Martin in Vegas. And then David Benavidez is the co-main. So we just see people on co-mains.
It's, yo, that card, June 15th, Tank Frank Martin, which is a really good fight. And, but man, you know, y'all know how I feel about David Benavidez. Him fighting Vozzy for, oh, God. Like, this dude, if he does what I think he does to Vozzy, and who was trained by Eddie Reynoso, and he just starts going, like, dude, and he gets the Bivol Better BF winner. There's a universe where Canelo's like, man, I gotta fight you. Like, damn.
If you want to be undisputed up there, fight the guy they've been calling a fight.
This what you want? All right, fine. I'll go get these belts and make you fight me. Since you won't fight me at 68, punk. Yeah. Like, what's up then? Shit.
We're gonna force the hand. Saudi Prince for that money washing. He's putting together fights so nobody remembers what the hell else is going on over there. So we'll see how that all plays out. Crazy week of boxing. Again, you mentioned this week we got a fight. We'll talk about that next week. And, of course, next week I believe we preview Canelo. So it's a recap of this weekend's fight with Virgil and then right into Canelo week, which is always stupid and packed. But it'll be here in Vegas. You get to check out some urban and Latino loitering. So that's always fun. That is going to be Cinco de Mayo weekend. Tacos on you because you got a new job.
So, yo, I'm not going to the fight.
What?
Hey, man, my main beat is MMA, and I have to cover UFC Brazil.
Oh, I forgot it was the same day. Why do they love fighting on Canelo's day?
I don't know.
Every year.
I immediately was like, yo, do y'all need me to fuck? They was like, no, we need you to cover Usyk versus Pantoja. I was like, really?
Right. I get it. All right. Well, you can hang around fight week if you want.
I mean, I'll be around. Like,
let me just see.
All the homies will be in town.
Yeah, we can just chill a little bit.
I just won't be at the fight itself. Like, I have to focus on front page story on if Usyk pulls off this monster upset, which won't be that surprising. But
whatever. Yeah. All right. So, you guys, it's going to be fun next couple of months, really, in combat sports. But next couple of weeks, looking forward to everything. We appreciate you all. As always, follow us wherever you guys are on social media. Like, subscribe to the show wherever you listen to podcasts. Check us out on Patreon. Always, though, everyone over there, Corner Club, shout out to you guys. Are amazing. In the meantime, for myself and the old man, Andreas Hale, till next time, we're out.
Peace.
It's happening daily. We're being conned by the institutions we used to trust. The mainstream media is distracting us with meaningless headlines instead of focusing on the harsh realities facing American families. Time is short before something big happens, and that's why so many folks are preparing. They're becoming self-reliant by investing in emergency food storage from My Patriot Supply. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and secure 4-week emergency food kits for each member of your family. Each kit contains tasty breakfasts, lunches, and dinners, averaging over 2,000 calories per day. Save $50 on each 4-week food kit you purchase. Plus, get free shipping on Ready Hour 4-week emergency food kits. You're not ready if it's not Ready Hour foods. At My Patriot Supply, you can also get solar power generators, water filtration units, heirloom seeds, and survival gear. Order by 3 p.m., and your unmarked boxes ship the same day. Shop MyPatriotSupply.com today. MyPatriotSupply.com.